Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are coming to Ireland in 2023 as part of a string of European tour dates, their first live shows for 6 years. RTE 61's own Dave McCullough is what can be described as a super fan, and he joins me in the studio this morning. David, good morning. You're welcome.
Hi, Clare.
You're already there. You're in the stadium, in your head.
Yes.
And you think he might open this set in 2023 with this one.
I hear the sound of your guitar.
The latest album, Letter to You, and I did a little straw poll of some of my mates, and everybody unanimously said, "Yeah, that's the opener," because it's a great rocky song. It'll get the crowd going and everything. And it's that album is interesting. Like, it's an album he's producing. He was 70, I think, when it came out. He's now 72. He'll be 73 by the time these concerts come out.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you
around
about that in a moment.
But,
yeah,
the album largely is about people he's lost along the way. Like, one of the songs is Last Man Standing, and it's about the, as is that song goes, it's about the lead singer in his first band, the Castillos, when he was a teenager, and he passed away.
Yes.
And Bruce suddenly realises, oh my God, I'm the only one of them left, the only one of
that
gang of pals
from
back in the day. So it's exploring themes of loss, and it's talking about how the people that are gone, they're still with you. In ways. And, you know, when he's on stage, he's channeling all the knowledge that he's gained in a lifetime of playing music from all these different musicians, some of whom are no longer with him, principally, of course, members of the E Street Band, Clarence Clemons and Daddy Federici. But he is remembering them, and as long as they are remembered, they remain alive. Their ghosts remain with us.
So listen, the age thing, right?
Yeah.
He is going to be 73. Mm. I remember over, you know, the peak of lockdown, he did something with Barack Obama, didn't he?
Yeah,
it was a
podcast
thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
It was shocking. And I say that as somebody who is a fan of Bruce and interested in Barack Obama. And they're both very interesting, thoughtful individuals. But the problem is, you had 40-minute podcast of the two of them agreeing with each other.
Yes.
And I think you need a bit of grit in the oyster to produce a pearl. And
yes,
that certainly wasn't a pearl. They did a book of it as well, which is actually quite good.
They did. And what I watched was something on YouTube, the two of them sitting together. It was a video, and I couldn't really focus on what they were saying because I was looking at Bruce Springsteen going, that man is in his 70s and he's as fit as a flea, which we know anyway, but I thought he'd lost quite a bit of weight and maybe he looked a little bit weaker than he has done. I know, sorry, but I'm just, my question is, can a 73-year-old man lead a gig like the ones that he used to do 6 years ago for 3 hours plus?
Yes, the answer will become apparent this time next year. I suspect he probably can. I mean, he seems to be pretty indestructible. He takes very good care of himself, obviously.
He's big into the exercise.
He's big into the exercise, something that he kind of got into when he was in his 30s. And I think it's from a mental health point of view, I think it's probably important to him as well. So the only answer I can give you is I don't know. The last time I saw him was at the Broadway show, where he is just him and a guitar on a stage, completely different to an E Street show, which, as you say, is very different. Now, you do have musicians that go on. Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan's still going. Very different, though, because Bob Dylan is standing there ignoring the audience and not moving around the stage very much, whereas Bruce is a completely different thing. Can he still do it? I don't know, but I'm going to pay my dollars and find out.
He could do it 6 years ago.
He certainly could. Yeah, I mean, he was the two shows in Croke Park. I mean, he was still magnificent as a showman. The amount of energy he was putting in, running around the stage and everything. Like, I wish I was that fit, which I most certainly am not. And hopefully he can still pull it out of the bag.
What magical exercise is he doing? Do we know? Is he
know.
Weights? Is he?
He does all that
doing
gym stuff. Yeah,
gym things.
Gym things. Wouldn't be into that class thing myself.
How do you feel about the venue?
Great. The RDS Arena, very familiar ground for him. He played it first in 1988 on the Tunnel of Love tour. Fantastic gig as well. And he's played it repeatedly over the years. The last time, Croke Park, I wouldn't be a huge fan of for gigs. It's just too big. I think it's not that intimate. Depending on where you are in the stadium, the acoustics can be a problem as well. The previous time he was here, 2013, I think he did a little mini tour of the country. Ed Sheeran wasn't the first, folks. He did Belfast, Limerick, Cork, and then two nights in Kilkenny. Absolutely
which
fabulous.
I hear were, from someone who was there, were great.
He was there for the whole weekend. And actually, I've heard from people who know him that he actually really enjoyed Kilkenny as well. So I was a little bit surprised maybe that he didn't stick a return engagement to Nolan Park in there. But, you know, there's plenty of vacant dates on the calendars. You never know where he'll end up.
Yeah, I mean, what is it with Ireland and him? It's just an extraordinary relationship, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, part of it is he has Irish roots on his father's side, despite the surname. Which I think does mean something to him. And also there's something about the musical heritage from here. He did that Seeger Sessions tour where he was exploring American roots music, and there's a lot of Irish influences in that as well. So I think he kind of reconnected with that a bit. And I think certainly from, I interviewed him a couple of times, and he made reference to the fact that he felt certainly from around the mid-noughties that there was a much greater connection he felt with the audience in Ireland. And certainly he played repeated dates, particularly some of those repeated dates, you know, three or four night stands in the RDS, promoting various albums, Magic and so on, that, you know, there was just a fantastic rapport between him and the fans. Now, having said that, people tell me that the fans in Spain are much more into it. The fans in Italy are completely insane. So you never know, we might get a road trip out of this yet.
Yeah. I want to just take another blast of the music, because the E Street Band, the fact that they're with him, you know, full scene on the stage, not just one man and a guitar, just makes it that much bit more special. So let's take a listen to the live version, or part of it at least, of Born to Run. David tells me that's his ringtone on his phone.
So much to the annoyance of my colleagues, so sorry, folks.
How did he cope during lockdown? Do we know? Because he tried to get a couple of gigs up and running. It didn't happen for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing was, he was, this tour next year was supposed to be happening now. It was all set up. It was a couple of nights in the RDS for a couple of weeks back, I think. So it was all set up, and then lockdown, or COVID came back again. And obviously, with a man of his age and his band, his colleagues are of a similar vintage, probably not a good idea. So it was scrubbed at the last minute. And you kind of get the impression, in fact, he did an interview yesterday with E Street Radio, an entire radio station devoted just to him, can imagine. And he said he was just aching to get out there again, to play music live on stage, to reconnect with fans, and just to travel to see all the cities, like a lot of people, I suppose. Just getting back out again, into the
moving
world is good. So he did. He did a couple of projects. He revived the Broadway show for a short run. He did a couple of gigs here and there, but clearly he wants to do it again with the E Street Band. And the question then arises, is this the last time we'll ever see the E Street Band in, you know, on stage like this, doing a major tour like this? And you never say never. And we have been saying this for the last decade, at least, that this could be the last time we'd see them. But certainly, I think we're coming to the place where it's not going to be realistic much longer.
How many times have you seen Bruce Springsteen?
I've only seen him 33 times.
33 times.
Yeah.
Like, you're a big fan, and I'm sure it's amazing to see him every single time, but was it better early in that 33 gig career for you, looking at him?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I always think back, like, what's the best Bruce gig you've ever seen? And it's difficult to top Slane in 1985, which is the first time I saw him. And I wasn't that much of a fan when I went, and I came away completely converted. But I have to say, I think the band, in terms of their power to deliver, certainly haven't lost anything. In arguably, in some respects, they've gained something. I mean, they've an extra guitarist now because Stevie Van Zandt has come back to the band. They've, you know, Susie Terrell on violin and stuff. So they've added nuances that add to the experience, and they're just so bloody good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And part of that is the experience under their belt.
So no fear that you're going to be disappointed.
No. Absolutely not. And I mean, I think the Bruce Springsteen and the E Band are one of the best live music experiences you can ever see. And that's all I can say about that.
You heard it from David McCullough. And the tickets go on sale on Friday. David, yeah. Thanks very much for coming in. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.